ready to start our session. And always at the beginning, I forget the title. So, Ways of Working with Dreams.
Okay.
And I put an outline on the board to kind of facilitate our work here this evening. And we touched on some of these things in previous sessions, but the first way to get rolling or started with your dreams is, of course, to record them and to put a notebook and pencil by your bedside, which is an expression of your intention to remember them and to wake up. You're probably partially awake and you're remembering the dream, and you don't want to wake up anymore. You know, you sort of like go back to sleep. So you need to have some intention about getting awakened up, and you can find that you can write in the dark. You know, if you have the notebook and the downer, if you put down, you don't have to write the whole elaborate dream out. But if you put down a number of the key words of what the dream is about, you'll be able to pull it back. So, I always write them in the dark. I don't turn any light on. So then I just have enough key phrases that I can catch the dream.
May I add something here? Mm-hmm. Can you think very clearly when you're dreaming, you think, well, of course I'll remember that. And then you wake up and you don't. Through the day, something may remind you, but generally, a lot of times, you won't. And it may be one that could be real helpful if you would pay attention to it.
Okay. Then when you are awake later in the day, and you're up for the day, and you want to, so then you can record it in a little journal or notebook, and you write it in the first person in the present tense. Says, I am standing on a hill overlooking, and I see such and such, and all of a sudden I'm confronted by a bird that is flying at me or something. So that you write it in the moment with a lot of, you know, with the action, not in the past tense. That way you capture the dynamic, active energy of the dream. Two, if you should be telling it to someone, even in discussion, tell it in the first person present. Because you will get more in touch with it. See, you're trying to work with it. You want to get more in touch with it, and it to be a live experience again. All right, then. The second thing is to list the parts of the dream and write your associations to them. So I've listed a number of the dimensions of who was in the dream, what was happening, or what else was in the dream. There might be some animals. There might be a car, truck, so on. So the who, the what, and the time, if you have a sense of the time and the place. And though sometimes it's not clear what the place is. Of course, it might be a certain landscape or so on. But the fact that, say, it's not clear where it is, that is a statement in itself. You don't feel as if you didn't remember it, because the thing is, it maybe isn't clear where you are. And then you also pay attention to the foreground of the activity that's going on in this place, and what is the background to it. And we shared a dream of John Newton's last night. And there was a lot of activity of persons that he was confronted with about a ring that he received. Well, the background was the ship that he was on. He was the captain of, and in real life, he was the captain of a slave ship. He was involved in the slave business. So the background is important to mention. In that dream, it had to do with his career and the work that he was doing and the feelings that he was having about dealing in the slave trade. So then you say, this the action or the drama, the adversaries in the dream or principles, the feelings that come along with it, and particularly pay attention to the ending of the dream, because sometimes the dream is not resolved, it's left hanging, you're not sure what happened. So you get each of these things, and you could list these, and then you may have certain associations or recall. The people in your dream might be an old friend. You haven't thought of for years. You know, normally you say, well, why am I dreaming about this person? Well, you need to write down maybe what this person was like. What were the qualities of this person? What do you remember? Maybe there was some special interaction that went on with this person. So all aspects of the dream are, in some sense, a part of you. So an old friend showing up in your dream represents something about you that has appeared and that you're coming to terms with or dealing or need to relate to. There could be animals. It might have some associations. It might be a farm animal, and maybe you grew up on a farm. Maybe it's a cat. Maybe you had pets, or certain things, or certain animal you might be scared of. Animals in your dream. So you tabulate the association. This way, you're beginning to translate the language of the dream by getting your own particular meanings to the parts of the dream. Okay, then over time, as you have a number of dreams that have occurred from time to time, you want to pay attention to the reoccurring symbols or persons or an animal or the place, that certain things are reoccurring themes in your dreams, and that in a way will help you, as you especially, as you've already done some association to a particular person in the dream, and that person keeps up coming up in your dream, you're knowing that you need to get more related to what that person represents for you. Let's say you've not been too assertive, and you've been buckling under some situation and putting up with it. And in your dream, there's an individual friend that you had that was really very outspoken. Maybe that person might have been a kind of a rebel, or at least they were aggressive. And so this person is in the story of your dream, is there. It would say then, somehow you need to get connected to your own assertiveness, your own aggressiveness. And the story of the dream will probably spell it out. I remember a very helpful dream of my own, being a pastor, a minister working with Lutheran Social Services. It was always short, basically, churches are always struggling financially. And Lutheran Social Service was as well. And the salary situation was always staying the same. And there was someone in the staff setting who was helping to keep the salaries always minimal. And in my dream, we were talking with some people in the staff and other members, and we were trying to know what could we do. Well, of course, pastors usually have an attitude, well, you work hard and you you do the Lord's will, you'll be rewarded, and, you know, they'll see it, and you don't have to speak up. You know, really, you shouldn't. You know, you should be ready to kind of be humble and self-sacrificing and so on. Well, in this dream, I'm seeing some people playing cards, and four people. Four is a very positive number in terms of stability and balance, and they're playing maybe poker or bridge or, you know, some kind of a card game. I guess it must have been bridge, because as I was sort of in the standing in the background, like maybe one who might be kibitzing, and maybe that's what I was doing, you know, about my salary situation, that I was probably kibitzing in the background about, you know, hey, when is this going to change? Well, as I was watching, the person who had the winning suit, his suit was clubs. And to me, that was a symbol of aggression, that the winning suit and all of these aspects, in one sense, were part of me. I mean, the people playing the card game, the winning suit was in clubs. And I had drawn that little dream out, and at one time I even made something clay. It was a shepherd's crook, but it was placed on a three-leaf club. You know the symbol for the club card is a big circle here and another circle here, and they like put a little base on it, you know. Well, it's actually the Trinity, and, you know, there's another symbol there for the Trinity there. And then I had sketched the Cairo on it. But it also represented aggression. To be aggressive or assertive in a positive way. Not to be violent or something like that. And of course, in cards, you're not violent, but you play your cards. You need to play your cards with some intelligence and care if you're going to win. So I, with that affirmation, I became more assertive and more spoke more directly to the people involved. And then the board made what they came up with, they appointed a committee to make a salary study of the whole agency. And out of that study then came some good salary raises for the whole staff.
I was wondering if this would be a good time to talk a little bit about what symbols people have, if there's any time, if anyone has any comment before you go on to the next one.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's take a break and defer to people that might have
questions
or something you want to share. I was interested to know, what symbols come up in your dreams, those of you that are in touch with your dreams? What comes up for you?
Oh, like a black dove.
A
black dove comes up, it's death.
And it's death?
Death. Mm-hmm. If it's black, it's death.
Oh, death, okay.
Death.
Okay, is that a reoccurring symbol that comes up for you?
No, when it happens, it seems like people die. I get a message if somebody died a little later, within almost 24 hours.
Okay,
it's
like
a prophetic
dream. Do some of you dream about houses or cars? What
houses.
Houses. How many dream about houses? Mm-hmm. Just interested to know. How about trucks and cars and trains?
Trucks and cars.
Okay. Any other symbols that?
How about animals? Anybody have some animals in their dream? Okay. What kind of an animal?
Dogs and snakes.
Kind of combinations.
Oh, but they're all very pleasant. I like them both.
And you like them both. Well, a snake can be a very positive symbol.
Yeah, you just did.
Snake can be a symbol for healing.
about a bull.
Is that come up?
But well, I remember one time when I was kind of shanghaied in the top of a hay mow when the bull was down there. I couldn't get down.
You and I had a talk.
In the dream, you're saying?
Well, both. In reality and in the dream.
I grew up on a farm and you and I had a talk.
I had some reality of the dream.
Terrifying things too.
Well, a bull could certainly symbolize aggression. It's like my card game with the clubs. And you may have had some feelings about something that you had maybe some anger about, and that could lead to the aggression, and you might have been also, trying to afraid of it. You know, sometimes we can be afraid of our own anger, and so the dream might be. I'm just, you know, hypothetically guessing, but a bull was a powerful animal and can be aggressive. He could be bullheaded. He could be stubborn. And I mean, there's all. And the other thing about the animal is when you're confronted with the animal in your dream, it represents something that, let's see, that may be more unconscious, that you need to bring it to more consciousness.
What about tunnels, you know, deep tunnels, and then being really afraid in the tunnels, just feel like it's closing you in?
Yeah. Well, it's a personal level. A personal level, a tunnel could mean different things to different people.
Maybe
it could be represent a cave, it could be a tunnel like a train goes through.
I have claustrophobia to a point.
Okay.
See, it would only take 5 minutes if you came up here and we talked to you a while about tunnels, and you'd find out what it is for you, but it'd be something different for everyone.
Was there another hand over this way?
Right back in
here. I'm afraid of mice.
Mice.
Do they appear in dreams? Do they appear in dreams?
Well, it sounds like just a good symbol for expressing your anxiety. You know, it is something that you in your outer life feel uneasy about, you're scared about. So when they appear in your dream, they're pretty much expressing something that you're scared about or anxious about.
Well, does that relate to the scene? For instance, if she'd see a mouse in a scene, then it would relate to the scene, might be.
Yeah, well, they appear to mention a scene, you know, that where you see the mice. Did any picture come back to you of where you've seen?
Well, I'm just remembering a dream where just sort of out of the corner of my eye, I would see something moving or even a mouse crawling up the wall.
Going up the wall,
Not anything more specific than that.
Well, that sounds like an anxiety dream, but that's related to something you may be anxious about, you know, in your waking life. An elevator dream is where the elevator falls is another form of anxiety. A very common dream.
Falling over a cliff, that's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Do you ever land?
Yeah. I think I wake up first.
Kind
of violence.
I think my most vivid dream was one that connected with something that gave a symbolic rendition of something that was actually happening that same night elsewhere. I was going up a hill, and there was a coffin up on top of the hill, and it was one of my children, I was told. But it isn't dead, it just moved. And that same night, my daughter was away on a canoe trip from camp, and a large tree fell on the tent that she would have been in and shoved both iron beds into the ground. So she wasn't dead because she wasn't there.
You must have some kind of telepathic sense.
Something.
That you picked that up.
I mean, I couldn't help but relate it to it because it wasn't the same.
Yeah, same sort of vivid.
I have something to say. For the benefit of new people, I think it's important for us to understand that every dream isn't a significant dream that we have to dissect and work with. And a lot of our dreaming is just to keep us balanced psychically. But that if there is some dream that continues to reoccur, or if there are symbols that keep coming back, and if there are things in your life that are not working too well, you might want to use the dream as one of the ways in which you get in touch with what you need to be seeing and doing something about. Is that clear? Yes.
Another issue, maybe I'll move on. I had read in one of Carl Sagan's books, he talks about the falling dreams and the snake dreams,
mm-hmm.
that is something that is cross-cultural.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you could share on that subject?
Well, I defer to you on the universal symbols and archetypes.
The falling symbol?
Yeah,
if that's universal.
Yeah, if that's universal.
Yeah. That's sort of one of the things it would be fine for. I think I had number 7 here, it'll be a 6, is getting acquainted with archetypal symbols. Those are universal symbols, and falling would come in the category of a universal symbol because we all experience falling.
Dropping out of the womb.
Yeah, and but even a tunnel is a
universal.
A tunnel, the womb, the birth canal, the cave, you know, I mean all of those, the womb, the cave,
and the coffin,
mm-hmm. are universal symbols. And because all cultures experience that, you know, I mean we all experience life and death,
right.
We all experience falling and the insecurity of that experience. And animals are a lot universal too. Like the horse often can be a symbol for the body. It's an animal that's very strong and powerful and is domesticated and that we ride. We can actually, you know, ride on the horse as well as the horse can pull a wagon. So the horse is often a symbol of our bodily energy, and so things around the horse may in a dream. Yes?
I was in a dream one time, I was in a dream, and there's a wave you like this on the airplane, and it almost go down, then go up again, and up and down, just barely may roll over the fence. Well, this time to wake up. That's morning I heard an earthquake. That's morning I heard it was an earthquake.
There was an earthquake.
There was an earthquake.
Well, I'm not sure of the connection between the two.
I think when the earth was rolling like that, that's when that airplane was.
I see. Well, maybe intuitively you feel that there is some connection. Maybe they say animals can tune into some of the things and vibrations, and you may have a sensitivity for that. The other thing is the airplane is, by its nature, the symbol is not on the ground. That is, you know, it flies in a medium that we're not used to. And it is also an statement of our being above the ground. So it can be a statement of sometimes our being inflated, that is, getting too high intellectually or rationally, too much in our head, and not grounded. To get down on the, you know, to be on the ground is to be our natural level, to be grounded. So I shared a dream about the pastor who was the airplane, you know, and he had a major surgery. Well, I suppose he worried a lot in his head about that. But in his dream, he was the airplane, and he managed to fly the plane and land on the ground, which was a reassuring experience and a release of some of his anxiety and assurance that somehow he would get through the surgery. Now, I'd like to, do you want to?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I'd like to kind of complete some of this, and then I want to...
Lois,
isn't it? Lois shared a dream with us, and I thought we'd do a little demonstration of one of the things I've listed here. She said she'd be willing to work with a dream that she has that was brief and very straightforward.
Can she come up here?
Well, not quite yet.
You're not ready. Okay.
I just want to... So we pay attention to recurring symbols and to repeat dreams, and particularly a dream that repeats is trying to get through to us, you might say, about something that may be unresolved or unfinished. So it's important to work with that particular dream. Probably there will be a lot of emotion or something maybe, or something conflictual that you have not decided upon and you're needing to deal with it. The other is to emphasize honoring the dream as you would honor the Spirit of Christ. And taking to the comments that she, as my wife Ellie was saying, with you don't have to be remembering all your dreams, or you don't have to work with all of them. But when something stands out to you, or particularly as you're starting to anew to get in touch with dreams, don't brush them aside. Oh, that was just a little piece or a little fragment. Really honor the dream. Even if it's a fragment, you're getting started. You know, in therapy too, we say honor your feelings. That feelings are something that we sometimes push down and we ignore, and we stay with our head and do what we think is right or good or honest, or and in the process push down our feelings. We need to honor our feelings as well. But so, in a sense here, I'm saying to honor the dream as really a means from that inner kingdom, or, you know, we are created in the image of God, and Jesus said the kingdom is within. We need to honor the psyche, the soul. And this is coming from a deep place, a larger place than just our ego consciousness. Okay, then we amplify the dream. See, you can do it by sketching, drawing the dream. Use crayons to color maybe certain aspects, and you may get certain feelings out of having colored the dream.
Color the dream with the right side of your brain.
Oh.
How are some of you in the right side?
Class, yeah. Because colors convey emotions and certain values. Black, like you mentioned, the black pigeon or dove. And red can be feelings, passion, love. Can be a variety of emotional feelings. Can be anger as well, and or gray. You know, it's all gray, no black or white. It's kind of fuzzed out. So, another way of working with a dream is sometimes there's an important symbol or important person. You can have a little meditation with clay and make that figure. You don't, it's not to be art, it's just that you are honoring the dream by, also with the drawing or sketching, you are honoring the dream by bringing it into a kind of physical reality. And when you made the clay figure, you can live with it. There in the kitchen, it'll live with it. Okay, then the other is to, you can write a dialogue. And if you're having trouble with getting some sense of it, you could retell the dream from another perspective. You might rewrite the dream from a person who is in the dream, maybe who is opposing you. Or if you're in the house, maybe the house could tell the dream. And just shifting the perspective may give, and you could even know, and what would the house want to say to you about what was going on? Or what would this other person, as they tell the dream, maybe toward the end you could say, you know, what does this person want to say to you? So that way you get more energy. Well, let's sort of stop there.
Okay.
And Lois, why don't you come on up here, and maybe Ellie could sit back there, and then you can. What we're gonna do? Basically is we'd like you to tell the dream in the first person again, in the present, like you're there. And you can do it, I'll give you a little time to kind of relax, because and you can either have your eyes open, or if it helps to sort of block out the situation, and you can close your eyes and be there in the scene. And sort of tell what what you are experiencing. Then what we're going to do is we're going to at some point I will do just what I talked about, is that you could talk to, or we'll have some part in the dream talk to you or speak to you. And but it won't necessarily be your husband. It won't be him.
Do you want another chair?
Pardon?
Do you want another chair?
Yeah, I do. Say, here's one. Okay.
Before we start, can I?
Yeah, you were to.
My dream comes under under the category of number three, a repeat dream. I've had this dream five or six times in the last year, after my husband died. And because it's been a repeat dream, it's bothered me. And it is, and I certainly feel it comes under the unresolved or unfinished. Mm-hmm. And I felt if I came, that this week, maybe I could have some time to reflect a little bit on that dream. And then yesterday, or day before yesterday, I believe, when the man who was giving grace in the morning, what's his name?
Wes
was giving grace in the morning. If you remember, he was talking about the mountains and the sun and how fortunate we were. That dream came to me again, and I had to leave, and I was wiped out for the day. So it's a very emotional kind of thing. So if I cry, you just have to.
Okay. Well, we thank you for being willing to come up here and work with it.
Well, this is going to help me if I feel.
Support you in.
A suggestion to you right now. When emotions begin to build and tears may be there in the background, is to keep your breathing going deep, you know, because that will help you to relax. And well, it may also allow a gentle flow of a little crying, but
I think I'm okay.
If you put your energy into fighting it.
Yes. No, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah.
Now that I've said that, I think I can.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing I saw was a purple valley. and there was a big mountain.
Okay, I am seeing a purple valley.
I am seeing a purple valley. I don't know how I knew it was a valley, but it's a valley. And then I saw the mountain. There's a big, big mountain. Looked very similar. Went across the way. And then there was a sun, and it was just a first grade sun with little lines coming out from it.
Could you point to the mountain?
And it was...
And it is.
Where is it, on your right or your left?
It was straight ahead.
Straight ahead.
The mountain straight ahead. And the sun is on the left side, and it's like three quarters of the sun, just behind the mountain. And the lines are coming out from a child's drawing, the rays of the sun. And it has kind of a smile on its face. And I knew it was my husband, and it was Dip. And I thought, well, you know, what is that? What is that? And there's another mountain. That was, I see that other mountain closer to me. And it was quite a sharp mountain. Or a steep mountain, the same as the other one was. And I looked, and there I was on that mountain, and I was going up the side of the mountain. And I thought, what am I doing while I'm on a bicycle? And I haven't ridden a bicycle for 30 years, but there I was on a bicycle. Oh, excuse me, I'm not riding the bicycle, I'm pushing the bicycle up the mountain. And I see, it's hard, it's heavy.
Say that again.
It's hard, it's heavy. It's hard, it's heavy, I guess. And I look behind, and there are all these things trailing behind the bicycle. And what I see is like white pieces of kind of knots of cloth material and rags, or it looks a little bit like...
I'm not sure what they are, so the present.
I'm not sure what they are. They remind me a little bit of when I was a child and would make a kite and tie a big tail on the end of that kite, and I'd tie knots in a big long tail, and that what I see dragging behind my bicycle that I'm pushing up the mountainside is garbage, like a lot of...
Besides the cloth and the knot, or you feel it's like garbage?
Well, somehow it's just a lot of stuff.
Junk.
A lot of stuff that I don't know what it is. But I look at it and it's hard, it's heavy. And then the sun says to me, you have strength, I'll warm your back. That was the end of the dream.
Yeah.
But this image keeps coming back to me. And
what particular, is it part of the image that keeps coming back?
Well,
breathe, kind of keep your breathing going.
I look at the mountain, I see the sun. I have to go back in the lodge again because it's so beautiful, yet I don't want to see it, or there's something there that is still unresolved.
I'd like you to close your eyes again and go back in the dream, mm-hmm. and be pushing that bicycle. Is it a path or a road? Are you on a road? Can you see where you are?
No, I can't.
Just that you're pushing the...
I'm a quarter of a way up. Mm-hmm. From the top.
Uh-huh.
You're
close to the top?
Yeah, I'm close to the top.
Okay, and you're in the dream and you're pushing your bike, and you're aware of this stuff following behind. Mm-hmm.
I look over my shoulder at it.
Yeah, would you look, turn in your dream, look, turn around and look at what's there.
What is all that stuff?
Take time to look at it. You can see some more of the stuff. or say, what do you want? And could you ask it a question? Who are you? What do you want? What are you doing there?
What are you? Who are you? What do you want? What?
Okay, that's sufficient. Now, I'd like you to come over and sit in this chair to shift from you being you, the one who's pushing the bike up the mountain. This is the stuff that's trailing behind your bicycle. So I want you to identify to be, and particularly you remember the claw.
Yes.
The strain.
Like they were kind of
and they're tied in knots.
Or
like they might have been the tail from a kite.
Yeah. But it was big, you know, they were big. Yeah, they were not like,
okay.
But that same type of thing. Like
I am a big knot then. So you are
big
the
knot.
Yes. I am a big knot.
They're big like this.
Oh, I am big like this. All right.
I'm the knot.
Yeah, you're the knot.
Okay, I am a big knot like this. And there's more of me.
Uh-huh.
And we're all, and there's several of them.
And you're hanging on to Lois's.
Yeah,
you're dragging on her bike.
Right, and it must be very heavy.
I am.
All of us, I'm.
I'm very heavy. And I'm, anything coming to you, or is there a lot of feeling about the knots, or about these things trailing on? Is there any sense in which you might be, that Lois might be feeling tied in knots? Knotted up by what has happened? Could you say something to her about how she might be knotted up because she got some big knots dragging on her?
Nothing comes to me. I don't know why I'm here as a knot.
Okay.
And what I'm... And I don't know why I'm heavy for you.
Good. Good. You're puzzled too.
I wonder if there are six knots. I don't know why that comes to me.
I want you to go back in your memory to when you were a little girl. And, you maybe were flying kites. Do you remember a time of flying kites?
I do remember flying kites.
And you made tails for your kites?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And about how old would you be at that time?
Oh, 8, 10.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of a time was that in your life?
Pardon?
And what kind of a time was that in your life?
Traumatic.
Were there any losses then?
No, no.
But there were some traumatic times. I mean, you had some tough times as a little girl at certain points.
Well, I would say so.
Yeah.
That time.
Like now, traumatic time. Like now.
No, I don't feel that. I don't feel any association with that. But. That's not.
Well,
but maybe I'm denying it too.
Well, I mean, it could be quite different, but the emotional level of it, I mean, it's been a trauma to have your husband die.
Yes.
Well, that's a traumatic thing. And to be left. And when you were a youngster, you went through some traumatic times. Mm-hmm. And now I don't know what kinds of experience, but there may have been, you might have felt left in some situation, or alone, or insecure in some way. Mm-hmm. And depending on certain people, and you know, in marriage we depend on each other, we're interdependent, and when you lose that person. So it's interesting too, you know, now if you think of it, the bike could symbolize two things. It can also symbolize your childhood years as well, as it's occurring to me now, sense that the bike is trailing, and the loss or death of your husband is probably connecting with some emotional stuff that you really didn't have a chance to finish or complete when you were a little girl growing up. You know, usually we don't know all that's happening to us. So maybe that is why the knots are so darn big. They seem mm-hmm. out of, you know, why should these yes. big knots be following me?
Right,
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They look a little bit like a kite, you know, tail, but I mean they're way out of.
Well, so. Why don't you share with the group, when I mentioned this to you, was that last night?
Yeah.
All right. You said a few things that were very helpful to me, which had not occurred to me whatsoever. Described the valley as being the separation.
Separation.
And that was aha. That's what that valley is, and that purple valley. Okay, that was the separation. Yeah. And then.
Yeah, the dream is about separation.
And the mountains, you know, the mm-hmm. two, you know, the valley between them. That's, well, sure, that's.
And how about if you have a bike and memories of kite? Are you dragging stuff from, it's
from
like
past.
Unfinished business from way back there that's compounded and added on to the loss of your husband? It's going to be really heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Heavier.
Maybe, I don't know. I just.
In a way, it sounds like you're getting near the top, see?
I feel I'm doing
really
well.
Right.
Well,
right.
Yes,
your dream
right.
is making a statement that you're doing
yes.
well.
And that's
you're
that
pushing
one unfished piece of business. That's
you're
right.
pushing your own bike, and you're on your own feet. See, that's a very good statement. Mm-hmm. And you're really up the mountain a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yes,
but you have
the
stuff that's trailing behind, dragging you, you know,
yes.
hanging on. It won't let go. Mm-hmm. Are you on
May I ask how many children she has?
Six.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
So now you're alone. You're alone without a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And your responsibility.
No, they're all grown.
Yeah,
gone.
But you're still.
Yes, okay, yes.
Mm-hmm. They're still, I'm a little, so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The other thing to notice that there are two mountains in the dream, and the sun, which is also a symbol of God the Father, or God. God is mother and father, but also her husband. So the warmth, and all. I mean, a very positive statement there that his spirit and his love and his is with you. The other thing is, the sun is kind of coming up behind his mountain, and you're climbing your own mountain. I think that's a beautiful statement, that you're on your own individual path. And your a mountain represents achieving something, and you are moving through this separation experience and period in your life, and you're getting near the top. There's some things that are dragging and holding heavy, and it could well be some things from your from
mm-hmm.
childhood
okay.
that get resurrected. That's very
mm-hmm.
common
mm-hmm.
that when you have one kind of experience. Some of the same emotions of loss or uncertainty, you know, get pulled up again.
Mm-hmm.
So it may, you know, so that, mm-hmm. is there some other?
I just wanted to know about the sun.
Yeah.
It was a, you know.
Yeah.
How she felt about the sun. How did you feel when you?
Her,
when the son said to you, I'll warm you or whatever.
Yeah, well, my husband and I were married 42 years and we had a beautiful, wonderful marriage. So it was, you know, that picturing him as, I mean, the son, that felt very comfortable to me.
Yeah, how's your day of light?
Yeah,
it usually moves her to tears. It moves you to tears, doesn't it, in a way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're in touch with the love. I get it, that there's a, yeah. That's why, you know, his love follows you.
Yeah.
It's with you.
When the load gets heavy, he will warm my back. And, you know, it's really a very beautiful dream. But it just, why do I keep having it? That's, I guess,
it's because there's something unfinished.
Something unfinished.
Haven't really. And what I wanted to say is we are coming to the end of the hour.
Yes.
And we have access to. With this?
Yeah, I would. There's another dimension that.
Okay,
that,
and our time is.
And it won't be long. The other thing, you see, would be to identify, and I encourage her to identify with the things that are dragging along in the behind mm-hmm. the bicycle. I've told her already that the bicycle is a positive symbol for your own individual power. I mean, it's a vehicle that. You can ride and pump yourself, and you balance, maintain your balance, and you steer it. Now, this stuff is dragging, and the steepness of the hill is keeping you from getting on the bicycle. Mm-hmm. See, the hill is so steep, and the stuff dragging is keeping her from getting on the bicycle. So, another part to identify with would be the mountain. Okay. And this would be one thing is, after you've written a dream, you can go through it, and you can put personal pronouns in front of the things. You know, like you say there's a dog in there. My dog is in the dream, and my snake came and saw me, and my mountain. See, that particular mountain is your mountain. So your mountain is giving you a hard time.
Okay.
See? Your mountain is making it steep. Mm-hmm. And you could talk with the mountain, and in what way, let's see, if you could. What way are you making it hard for yourself?